For those of us in here, let me invite you again this week to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, if you're grabbing a pew Bible in front of you, it's page 683. The words will be on the screen behind me as well. We again are continuing to turn our attention from the Jesus backstory, where we spent the better part of the last 2 years in focusing, centering more and more on the very life and teachings of Jesus, most notably as they are found in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, what is called or referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, and what are considered to be the most significant teachings of Jesus. Beginning with, as we have seen, what are called the Beatitudes, which is really interesting in that at the very end of the Parshiot, at the very end of the Torah, the last Parsha, Vezot HaBeracha, Asher Berak Moshe Ish HaElohim, and this is the blessing, it reads, and this is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, blessed. And now here, up on the mountainside, the very first words of Jesus are these blessings, right? These blessings that Jesus, the Son of God, blessed. Keeping in mind, again, that Jesus, he is not replacing the Torah, right? He is not doing away with the Torah and replacing it with something else. Rather, he is opening it up. He is unveiling it. He is expressing the deeper intent, the deeper meaning, the deeper heart, the deeper significance of, beginning with, as we've seen, the Beatitudes, right? Again, Jesus speaking here, blessed are. Noting in Greek and Hebrew, there is no are. There is no verb in either the Greek or the Hebrew. And so maybe a little different translation, maybe better, would be, oh, the blessedness of. Oh, the blessedness of. Point being, from the scholar William Barclay, the Beatitudes, they are exclamations. They are not pious hopes of what shall be. They are not glowing but vague prophecies of some future bliss. They are congratulations on what is. Point being, it is a present reality. It is here, and as Phil has mentioned, it is now. It is here, and it is now. Makarios in the Greek, ashrei from the Hebrew. Jesus says, oh, the blessedness of, and then he picks it up, verse 3, which we looked at. This was back in November of last year. Oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit. Keeping in mind that when Jesus speaks those words, he's speaking them into a culture, into a society, into a world that is all about military power, political control, economic exploitation, religious sanction. Is where the ruling elite exploit and intimidate and oppress and persecute. Where the blessing of the day, as it were, are to those who look the part, to those who have, maybe we could say, the right sorts of credentials. But in steps Jesus to that, and he says, No, it is to the poor in spirit. It is to the poor in spirit, meaning the destitute, right? Those without hope, those that have been stripped of their dignity, robbed of their value, those crushed, we could say, by the kingdom of the empire. And yet Jesus says, oh, the blessedness of those whose only hope is trust in God. And he flips the script and he says, it's to such as these, right? The broken, the oppressed, the beaten down, right? Those without influence or power or prestige. Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of. He says, my kingdom is for them. My kingdom is for them. He continues, verse 4, blessed are, or again, oh, the blessedness of those who mourn, who have embraced the deep sorrows of life, for out of their sorrow they will find comfort. And again, where the world says, deny it, block it, medicate it, stuff it, hide it, bury it, right? Whatever you do, don't talk about it and don't share it. And into that steps Jesus again, calling us to embrace the hard stuff of life. Calling us to invite himself, to invite God and others into those places of deep ache. And he says it's there, right? There that our sorrow will find comfort. And then last week, verse 5, and you can go back and listen online or through iTunes, the website, but he says, blessed are the meek. We could say, oh, the blessedness of those who live the way of the age to come, who practice the way of goodness and kindness and generosity, who seek justice and righteousness, who walk the path of peace, for they will inherit the land, for they will inherit the earth. And then for today, we head into verse 6. Again, Jesus says, we read, blessed are Makarios, Ashrei, oh, the blessedness of, he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Beginning with here, hunger and thirst, right? The blessedness of those who hunger and thirst. Noting that hunger and thirst are really a team. Peinau and Deep Sow. They are a partnership. They are intimately connected. They are intermingled together. And it is, of which the scholar William Barclay, he tells us, this hunger is no genteel hunger which could be satisfied with a mid-morning snack. The thirst of which it speaks is no thirst which could be quenched with a cup of coffee, ouch, or an iced drink. He said it is the hunger of someone who is starving for food. And this is not the kind of starving that's in the middle of the afternoon and you or maybe your kids or grandkids say, oh, I'm starving, right? That's not the starving we're talking about here. This is someone who is starving in such a manner that death is just around the corner, right? And the thirst of someone who will die unless given something to drink. We can keep in mind here that in the ancient world, the working wage was a denarius. A daily working wage would have been about a denarius. And so it kind of kept people, were always kind of right on that edge of despair and desperation and disaster. It was kind of this ever-present reality. It was not possible, Barclay continues, for the vast majority of people to turn a tap and find clear, cold water pouring into their house. A traveler might be on a journey, and in the middle of it, the hot wind which brought the sandstorm might begin to blow. There was nothing but to wrap one's head in a hooded cloak, turn your back from the wind, and wait while the swirling sand filled the nostrils and throat until one was likely to suffocate and until you were parched with an overpowering thirst. And here is Jesus, right? He says, oh, the blessedness of those who hunger and thirst, right? This is not a tepid sort of description of me walking to the refrigerator and, let me consider my options. Let me see what I want to drink for today. Right, but here Jesus speaks into that and he says, oh, the blessedness of those who hunger and thirst, right, who feel that profound craving, who carry that deep ache, who walk with that sort of ever-present desperation for, he says, not food and water, but he says that for righteousness. Righteousness comes from dikaiosune, which carries this idea of living in concert with justice. It's this idea of righteousness living in concert with justice. As the late professor and theologian William Swartley, as he puts it, justice is the activity of, it is the practice of, we could say, of righteousness. It's a practice that runs deep throughout the entire Jesus backstory, found perhaps most notably in Deuteronomy, say for Devarim, for some that were here when we did that, Deuteronomy, specifically here in the 46th Parsha, Parsha Akev. It says here, Deuteronomy 10 and 12, this is Moses speaking. In fact, most of Deuteronomy is Moses speaking. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. And then dropping down to verse 17, Moses says, we read, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. That can be translated, he is right and he is just. And what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. It looks like he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And then he says, and you are, in essence, to do the same. You are to do the same, to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. And so here is Jesus saying, in essence, oh, the blessedness of those who hunger and thirst, right? Again, who feel that profound craving, who carry that deep ache, who walk with that sort of desperation, right? For the fatherless, for the widow, for the hungry, for the naked, for the stranger. Jesus says it's to those who make that their priority, right? To live a life bent toward justice. But not only the Torah, not only Deuteronomy, but from the book of Job. We get a picture here of it begins with a righteous man. We read Job 1:1, in the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. The man was blameless and upright. The man, it says, he was righteous and just. And then if we go down to chapter 29 and verse 12, we get an idea of what righteousness and justice then look like. Because I rescued the poor who cried for help, the fatherless who had none to assist them. The one who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. Interesting, I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. But not only in the Torah, not only in the Ketuvim, the writings in Jewish literature and Jewish terminology, but also in the Nevi'im, in Isaiah the prophet. This is chapter 1 and verse 11. This is an indictment against Judah. The multitude of your sacrifices, God says, what are they to me? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked you of this trampling of my courts? Dropping down to verse 15, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And here it is, Jesus again, right? Oh, the blessedness of those who hunger and thirst. Not speaking of food and water here, but who have that, who feel that, right? That profound, who have that deep, right? Who walk in that way of desperation for the fatherless, for the widow, for the hungry, for the naked, for the one in need. Whoever that one is. Jesus says it is to those who make that their priority, right? To live a life bent toward justice. It is those, Jesus says, who will be filled, or tadzo in the Greek, meaning to be satisfied. In essence, Jesus says it is those who will experience then the fullness of what life is meant to be. Those will experience the fullness of what life, the richness maybe of what life is meant to be. We see this lived out then, and we'll bring this to a close. We see this lived out in the early church. Acts 2 and 42, it says, we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, interesting, and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. In fact, if we drop down just a couple of chapters, 4 and 32, it continues, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, to the end that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed again to anyone who had need. Right? Jesus says it's to those who make that the priority. Right? Those who feel that profound craving, those who carry that deep ache, those that walk in that deep sort of desperation, right? To live a life bent toward justice. To live a life bent toward justice. What about you and me? We could ask, does my life, does your life, does our community life together, does it bend toward justice? You know, it's those, Jesus says, hortazo, who will be filled, right? Who will experience the fullness, the richness of what life is meant to be. Does my life bend toward justice? Do we practice the way of justice? We could drill down a little bit and ask, do we make justice our top priority? Do we make justice our top priority? Right? Do we carry that craving? Did you wake up this morning with that craving, with that deep ache, with that sort of desperation for those in need? Do we make that our top priority? Do I live the way of justice in my daily activity? Right, when we get up in the morning and we think about our day and what am I going to get done and our to-do list. Doing justice, is that on our to-do list? Right, eat breakfast, go to the bank, go to the post office, do shopping. Anybody got do justice on their list? Do we live the way of justice in our daily activity? When I think of justice, by the way, justice is compassion plus generosity. Right? Compassion, right? Compassion is that craving, is that ache, is that desperation that we feel, plus doing something about it, right? Plus generosity. Do I live with a posture of justice to those in the margins? Do I live the way of compassion plus generosity to those in need? And perhaps, as it says in Deuteronomy, right? We read there, giving them food and clothing, or from Job, caring for the poor, right? Those crying out for help, those who it says have none to assist them. Right? Do I live the way of compassion and generosity to those? And then maybe we can even think of Acts, right? In the early church, and maybe this is more a shift of attitude, right? No longer considering stuff my own, no longer considering that my stuff just belongs to me, but that it's ours? Talk about a shift. Right? Sharing, in that sense of sharing together, not for the good of me, but the good of us together. And so does our life bend toward justice? Practice the way of justice? Right? Is that our top priority? Is that part of our daily activity? Do we live with that posture, right? That compassion plus generosity to those in need. Let's sit for just a few moments in stillness together. And then Dan will come up with the team and close us. So the blessedness of those who feel the profound craving, who carry the deep ache, who walk with that desperation to live a life bent toward justice, for they will experience the fullness of what life is meant to be.